This Marketplace podcast is supported by Invest Puerto Rico. What's next in innovation? That's not the right question. It's where. Puerto Rico, more than just a tropical paradise, it's innovation's paradise, where startups and global players coexist in a vast and vibrant ecosystem, where talent runs deep, highly skilled, and bilingual. Plus, the island offers the most competitive tax incentives in the U.S. If you believe your business can go anywhere, Puerto Rico is the place. Find out more at investpr.org/marketplace. Again, that address is investpr.org/marketplace.
Traditional revenue sources for public media and really the media at large are declining this year, and we at Marketplace are not immune to these trends. We're currently tracking behind target for this budget year. We are tightening up expenses, but the need for trusted, grounded, fact-based reporting is as pressing as ever. We can't cut back on our mission, so we are turning to listeners like you. Please step up now and invest in Marketplace. If you haven't yet given, now is the time. Go to marketplace.org/donate. A tentative contract deal does not mean a slam dunk yes from union members. I'm David Brancaccio in New York. President Joe Biden and China's leader Xi Jinping have agreed to meet this week one-on-one while both are at the Asia-Pacific Economic Cooperation Summit happening now in San Francisco. It's their first meeting in nearly a year. Summiteers represent countries that account for nearly half of global trade, Marketplace's Nova Safo reports.
For much of the year, as the Biden administration has sought to thaw trade relations with China, the message from senior officials has been consistent. Commerce Secretary Gina Raimondo.
It's competition. Like any intense competition, you have to cooperate where it's in your interest.
Treasury Secretary Janet Yellen.
There is an important distinction between decoupling and diversifying critical supply chains.
Secretary of State Antony Blinken.
De-risk, not decouple.
So, what does all of that mean in the context of this week's meeting between President Biden and China's Xi Jinping? The White House is tamping down expectations amid a continuing tariff war and continuing protests from China over U.S. export bans on advanced computer chip technologies. APEC leaders, though, will be looking for any sign of improving relations because, as the organization's coordinating office revealed yesterday, it expects global economic growth to slow next year, in no small part because of tensions between the U.S. and China. I'm Nova Safo for Marketplace.
We've heard the following line a lot recently. A company and a union have reached a tentative contract agreement, which still needs to be voted on by union members. Well, that is the case for Hollywood actors, big three auto workers, and some casino workers in Las Vegas. But as Marketplace's Henry Epp reports, these votes are not a rubber stamp.
Rank-and-file union members usually aren't directly involved in contract negotiations, so a ratification vote is their moment to have a say, says Rebecca Given, an associate professor at Rutgers School of Management and Labor Relations.
So they're really trying to assess whether this is the best they could have done or whether it would have been worth their while to stay out on strike longer to get something more.
Ahead of a vote, many union members will try to get as informed as possible on the contract details, she says, through formal meetings and caucuses organized by union chapters.
And workers will, of course, talk to each other.
And ideally, they won't find too many surprises in the contract, says Michael Lotito with the employment law firm Littler. If they do...
That suggests that there's a more fundamental communication problem, because when you agree to a contract, you're doing so with the hope and hopefully confidence that it's going to be ratified.
And if members vote a contract down, he says, union leaders' jobs may be in jeopardy, and employers face fresh threats of another strike. I'm Henry Epp for Marketplace.
Indeed, United Auto Workers members continue to vote on their tentative contracts with Ford, GM, and Jeep Ram's owner Stellantis. On Friday, workers at a GM assembly plant in Flint, Michigan, narrowly said no to the contract. Meanwhile, at some Ford plants in Kentucky, there's no aggregate tally, but production workers said no, yet skilled trade workers at those plants said yes, as UAW locals continue to vote. Traditional revenue sources for public media, and really the media at large, are declining this year, and we at Marketplace are not immune to these trends. We're currently tracking behind target for this budget year. We are tightening up expenses, but the need for trusted, grounded, fact-based reporting is as pressing as ever. We can't cut back on our mission, so we are turning to listeners like you. Please step up now and invest in Marketplace. If you haven't yet given, now is the time. Go to marketplace.org/donate.
With access to so much information, it's hard to feel like an informed, discerning citizen. That's why on Make Me Smart, which is a podcast from Marketplace, we make it easy for you to stay in the know. Hi, I'm Kai Rizdahl. Every weekday, Kimberly Adams and I unpack the latest from Washington, D.C.
The Senate Minority Leader has announced that he will step down as the Republican leader.
What's happening in AI? I mean, don't buy at the top, but holy cow, artificial intelligence and all the companies related to it are the hot new thing. And we do the numbers.
So as a refresher, inflation is the rate of increase in the prices of things. It's not just sort of things getting more expensive. It's the speed at which things get more expensive.
Because in a world that's constantly changing, we all need to stay smart. Listen to Make Me Smart wherever you get your podcasts.
According to the National Weather Service, the probability of precipitation Friday evening in Washington, D.C. is 30%. Perhaps with the wind chill, they should also add probability of partial government shutdown as a regular feature to those. With no viable proposal in sight, the government set to run out of money as Friday turns to this Saturday, an ongoing state of affairs that led the credit rating agency Moody's to decide that the credit of the United States of America is now a riskier bet. Economist Julia Coronado is founder of Macro Policy Perspectives. Greetings.
Good morning.
So when Moody's says this, from stable to negative, is this just, you know, an academic exercise, or do you see practical effects?
Well, it's not like there's a direct translation from, say, the size of the deficit to, you know, bond yields per se. But I think it's not just about the deficits that look to be ongoing, but the functioning of the government as evidenced by continued threats of government shutdowns. It's just not a stable way to run a government. Trust in reserve currencies comes not just from the fiscal discipline as measured by deficits and debts, but how does the government function? Can it run its own affairs in a productive and healthy way for the economy? And that's where we look to be a little bit at risk.
Yeah, and it seems to be an ongoing concern. In other words, even if the government doesn't partially shut down at the end of this week, it's not that political polarization is going to suddenly go away.
Well, right. And if we get this continuing resolution that's being proposed, we have the next cliff in January and February. So it's just continued brinksmanship over very small issues, really. I mean, what we're looking at in terms of these continuing resolutions are minor in the grand scheme of things, and the theatrics take precedence over just passing a budget to get the government running.
It's going to become a permanent feature of our broadcast, right? Like weather forecasts, you know, each hour we're going to be doing the probability of federal government shutdown is 72% today.
Right. It's like the weather and or Lucy and the football for those that remember Charlie Brown continually threatening and then removing the threat at the last minute.
Yeah, there you go. Economist Julia Coronado, who just ended her term as the president of the National Association for Business Economics. Thank you very much.
My pleasure.
We're coming off the most miserable weekend on record for any new Marvel movie. Just $47 million came into box offices in the U.S. for The Marvels. The review aggregation site Rotten Tomatoes gives this one a 62 on its meter versus 79 for the one before, Captain Marvel. Rolling Stone called this one wobbly, while The Atlantic said pleasurably lightweight. Due to the strike, actors weren't out there promoting the film, which could be a bit of this. In New York, I'm David Brancaccio. It's the Marketplace Morning Report. From APM, American Public Media.